Lord, to us.
Thank your minister for the words of welcome. It's good to be with you again in Athlone tonight to renew fellowship with you. They always say it's not good to say and to see old faces, but to see familiar faces. And of course, we look to the Lord to come and meet with us tonight. It's good, I think, when you come to a meeting that you're told what the subject is. It saves a lot of searching, wondering what you're going to speak on when you go to a meeting. When you're given the subject, at least you know exactly where to turn to and what to study. And of course, it's always a blessing to be able to study God's Word. We were always told in Bible college the best way to study God's Word, or the way to get the most out of it, was when you were studying to preach it. And I think that is true, because if you have nothing to preach about, well, you're not going to be getting up for starters. And so it's always good to be able to study God's Word. And I can say I've never preached on this subject before, or I had never preached on it before, but I decided a couple of Sundays ago I would study it for tonight, but study it so I could preach it in my own congregation first. And it ended up developing into three messages, so my wife said it's going to be a long meeting tonight, but hopefully it'll not be. I'll try to have you out before nine, so you can keep me to that. But we're going to turn to the book of Exodus and the chapter 13. We want to read some verses here and then some verses over in the book of Numbers and the chapter 9. And of course, as you probably will know, my subject is the pillar of cloud, and fire, which is mentioned here in Exodus chapter 13. And in a number of places, we're going to read here in Exodus 13 down to the verse 17. And then a few verses in Numbers chapter 9. Exodus 13 and the verse 17, the children of Israel have been delivered out of the land of Egypt. And in verse 17 of Exodus 13, we read, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day, in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people." Then if you turn over to Numbers, please, in the chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. And down at the verse 15, we read again about this pillar of cloud and fire. Numbers chapter 9. And the verse 15. Numbers 9, verse 15, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whither it was by day, or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless these readings from his word to your hearts this evening for his name's sake. We want to just seek the Lord for a moment in prayer again and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word. We thank thee for the opportunity we have even to come together and assemble together in thy name to worship thee. And we thank thee, Lord, that already we've been able to sing thy praise. Already we have come before thee in prayer. We thank thee even for what we have read from thy word. And we pray now as we come to the preaching of thy word, we pray that thy spirit will open our understanding, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy word. We thank thee that all of scripture is inspired by thyself. And we thank thee all of scripture is profitable for us. And we pray tonight that thy word may profit our souls. That each of us who are saved will be built up in our faith. That thy word will be that spiritual food to our souls tonight. And Lord, if there be those out of Christ, that even through thy word tonight, they will realize their need of thy salvation. Come now and minister to your hearts. Give that help even in the preaching of thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you come back to that passage in Exodus 13, and in particular the verses 21 and 22, it is the first place where this pillar of cloud and fire is mentioned. And as you take the time to read through this book of Exodus from the opening chapter, you of course will read the record of the suffering of the people of Israel in the land of Egypt. And yet you will also read about God delivering his people out of the bondage and affliction of the land of Egypt. And among the many things which stand out in the record of the book of Exodus are God's care for His people, despite their sin, despite the fact they had to chasten them, God's care for His people, and God's control over all things. You see, God was the one who, back in Exodus chapter 2, in the verses 23 to 25, heard the cry of the people of Israel in their bondage and in their affliction. He was the one who remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that certainly demonstrates for us God's care for His people. You'll remember, of course, in Exodus chapter 3 in the opening verses that God Himself appeared to Moses out of the burning bush to reveal to Moses that He had seen the affliction of His people. He had heard their cry. He knew their sorrows. And He had come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, out of the bondage of the Egyptians, to bring them to the promised land that He had promised to them. He was sending Moses to be their deliverer. And of course, God then sent the plagues upon the land of Egypt to show His control over all things, His great power, even over Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and again to show His care for His people in delivering them out of the land of Egypt. And when we come to where we began our reading tonight in Exodus chapter 13, God has so worked in the land of Egypt and so worked against Pharaoh and the Egyptians that Pharaoh has said to the people, go, leave the land. And the people are journeying. In verse 17 of Exodus 13, where we began our reading, we discover that when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, but rather in verse 18, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. God was the one who was going before the people. God was the one who was leading the people. And when we come to verses 21 and 22 here in Exodus 13, we read that the Lord went before them by day, in this pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. This pillar, it appeared as a pillar of cloud in the day, it was as a pillar of fire by night, and verse 22 tells us that God took not away the pillar by day or by night, from before the people. And we want to consider tonight this pillar of cloud and fire, what it teaches us even today as God's people. Because though it had particular significance for the people of Israel in their day, of course it has lessons for us even today. And I want us first of all tonight to consider that this pillar was a token of God's presence with His people. Here in Exodus 13 and the verse 21, it tells us very clearly that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. The Lord went before them in this pillar of cloud and fire. Therefore, there is no doubt that this pillar of cloud and fire was a token of God's presence with His people. It was a visible token, of course, for the people of Israel. And as a result, we learn a number of things about God's presence with us as His people. Although we do not have a visible pillar of cloud and fire as a token of God's presence with us, yet we are assured tonight as the Lord's people that we have the Lord's presence with us just as much as the people of Israel had the Lord's presence with them. And we learn first of all that God's presence is with His people at all times. times. In this verse 21 of Exodus 13, we discover that the Lord went before the people of Israel by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. In other words, it didn't matter whether it was the daytime or the nighttime, whatever time of the day or night, the people of Israel were assured that God's presence was with them. They saw the cloud by day and they saw the fire by night. And those words by day and by night are mentioned twice in the verse 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And again in verse 22, there's an emphasis again upon day and night. Verse 22, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God's presence, God himself, was with his people by day and by night. And what a comforting thought that is. To know that even this evening, as the people of God, that God's presence is with us at all times. In the brightness of the day and in the darkness of the night. And even when our circumstances are such that we're walking in the day, as it were, or if our circumstances are difficult and we may talk about the darkness of our circumstances, the Lord is with us by day and by night. If you turn for a moment to the Psalm 121, it's a very familiar psalm, the Psalm 121, and it may be that it's one of those psalms that you might even have learned and be able to quote. And in this Psalm 121, we are reminded that we have God's presence with us by day and by night. In this Psalm 121, in the verse 4, we read, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Verse 5 says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand." So the Lord is the one who keeps his people. And in the verse 6, it says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." And again we have these words, by day and by night. The Lord as our keeper. The Lord as the one who is our shield. Because he is with us, because we have his presence with us, it's by day and by night. So much so that it is put here that the sun will not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord's presence is with us at all times. He watches over us as his people at all times. What a comfort that is. We have those familiar words again in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The promise of the Lord's presence with us. "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that's God's promise to you tonight if you are his child, if you're saved by his grace. Just as in Exodus 13 in the verse 21, the Lord went before the people of Israel by day in that pillar of cloud and by night in that pillar of fire. They were conscious that his presence was with them at all times. So you and I that are saved by God's grace tonight, because of what God has said in his word, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," we can be absolutely sure that the Lord's presence is with us at all times. And of course, often we know, we're conscious the Lord's presence is with us. And even if we weren't conscious, we can take the promise of God's word that his presence is with us at all times. In the good times in life, and also in the difficult times, we have the Lord's presence with us. And what a comfort that is. But if we take this thought a step further, we also learn that God's presence protects His people. When you come back here to Exodus, while we read here in chapter 13, the verses 21 and 22 about this pillar of cloud and fire for the first time, when you read on into Exodus chapter 14, you discover that this pillar of cloud and fire is so significant in the journeys of the children of Israel. When you move into chapter 14 and the verse 8, you read of how the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. So the children of Israel, yes, they have left the land of Egypt. Pharaoh has told them to get out. This pillar of cloud and fire, the Lord's presence, goes before them as they journey. And Pharaoh decides he's going to follow after the children of Israel. And as you read down this chapter, the children of Israel, as they're led by the Lord, that pillar of cloud and fire, they come to the banks of the Red Sea. The Red Sea is before them. Pharaoh and his armies pursue after them. And they come to that point where the Red Sea is before them. And Pharaoh and his armies are behind them. And from a human perspective, they're trapped, as it were. But if you come down to the verse 19 of Exodus 14. In verse 19 it tells us, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." Verse 20. "And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them," that is to the Egyptians, "but it gave light by night to these," the Israelites, "so that the one came not near the other all the night." And surely this indicates to us that God's presence with his people was actually protecting his people. They come to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are behind them. And this pillar of cloud, which is the token of God's presence with them, it has been before them, leading them right to the banks of the Red Sea. But according to the verse 19, that pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the Israelites and the Egyptians. To the Egyptians, that cloud was just darkness. But to the Israelites, it was light by night to them. And because that pillar of cloud and fire, the token of the Lord's presence, had come between the Israelites and the Egyptians, we read that the one came not near the other all the night. God's presence was protecting his people, coming between his people and the Egyptians. And you know, even when the Lord caused the Red Sea to roll back so that his people could go through it, and you remember the Egyptians followed them, if you look down in Exodus 14 here to the verses 23 and 24, it tells us that the Egyptians pursued and went then after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked onto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and off the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And again, God was protecting his people from the Egyptians, even as the Egyptians pursued after them through the Red Sea, and the Lord looked through that pillar of fire and off the cloud. And again, we're taught God's presence protects his people. Not only the people of Israel there on that occasion, but you and I today as the Lord's people. If you just come back once again to that Psalm 121, this fact comes out again, that God's presence protects His people. Not only is God's presence with His people at all times, but it's with us, that is, God is with us, to protect us. Psalm 121, the verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord protects us as His people. The Lord's presence with us protects us. He preserves our souls. He protects us from Satan and the powers of darkness. He protects us even in a physical, temporal sense. The Lord's presence with us as His people protects us. So God's presence is with His people at all times. God's presence protects His people. But God's presence with His people calls for reverence. I want you to turn for a moment to Exodus 33, where the cloudy pillar is mentioned again. Exodus chapter 33. Here in Exodus chapter 33, of course, the children of Israel are still on their journeys. And Moses is the one who is leading them under God. And in the chapter 32, you remember the people of Israel had sinned terribly against God. Moses had been up the mount communing with God, receiving the Ten Commandments. Down below, the people of Israel had asked Aaron to make them gods. And you remember the golden calf was made and was being worshipped. And Moses up the mount, God had told him what was happening. And God had said in verse 3 of Exodus 33, I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. The Lord, whose presence had been with the people at all times, the Lord was now saying, because of their sin, I'm not going to go up anymore in your midst. The people had mourned this fact when Moses told them in verse 4. But Moses, of course, in this passage, he prayed that the Lord's presence would continue to go with the people. And down in verse 7, Moses took the tabernacle. Now that's not the tabernacle, because it wasn't yet constructed. Moses had been receiving the instructions and did receive the instructions for it up the mount, but the particular tabernacle or tent that they had at that point was taken and pitched without the camp afar off because of the sin of the people. It tells us at the end of verse 7 in Exodus 33 that it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out onto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. But I want you to look here at verse 8. Verse 8 tells us it came to pass when Moses went out onto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. In other words, they all stood at their tent doors. They watched Moses going out to that other tent, that other tabernacle, to commune with the Lord and to worship. And look at verse 9, where this cloudy pillar is mentioned again. Verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The words "the Lord" are in italics there. And so we could read the verse without them, where it says that this cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle and talked with Moses. It was the Lord, of course, that talked with Moses. But you see, that cloudy pillar was the token of the Lord's presence. And when that cloudy pillar came down, the Lord talked with Moses. In verse 10, Verse 10 says, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door." And they knew what that signified. They knew it was a token of the Lord's presence. "And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." They were conscious this was the token of God's presence. They were conscious that the Lord was there communing with Moses, and they stand, they rise up in their tent doors, and they worship. You see, we've said God's presence calls for reverence among his people. And that's exactly what was happening here. The people knew they had sinned. They knew through Moses that God had said, "I'm not going to go with you anymore." But they knew that Moses was out there praying, that God would continue to go with them. And they saw the cloudy pillar coming down. They knew the Lord was communing with Moses. And though there at a distance, they rise up and they worship. They worship conscious that God's presence, that God himself is there communing with Moses as they watched all. They're able to worship. And they show that reverence. And while we have God's presence with us at all times, wherever we are, when we come together, such as we do tonight, such as we do on the Sabbath day, and so on, when we come together to the public place of worship, God has promised his presence in a very particular way. You remember the Lord said in Matthew's Gospel, "Where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." And in a particular fashion, the Lord's presence is with us as we gather together in the public place of worship. And that calls for reverence. Of course, even at home when we worship privately or in our family worship, it calls for reverence. The psalmist in Psalm 89 and 7 said, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." You know, there are places today and churches where people come together to worship, and there's so much that goes on that is totally irreverent. But when we come to worship the Lord, it calls for reverence. In Hebrews 12 and 28, "We are exhorted, let us of grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And so again, we are taught from this pillar of cloud and fire, not only that it was that token of God's presence, God's presence with his people at all times. Not only are we reminded that God's presence protects us as his people, but we are taught that God's presence with us calls for reverence. And then there's one other thought concerning God's presence with his people. And that is the fact that God's presence with his people is often recognized, even by the ungodly. Turn to the book of Numbers this time and the chapter 14. Because in Numbers chapter 14, mention is made again of this pillar of cloud and fire. Numbers chapter 14. The previous chapter, Numbers 13, the Lord had commanded Moses to send 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. When the 12 men came back, 10 of them said, "Oh, it's a great land, but we've seen the giants there, the cities are walled, there's no way we could go up and take that land, even though God had promised it to the people." But two of the men who came back, Caleb and Joshua, they said, "Oh, we can go up if the Lord has promised us the land. He'll give it to us." But because of the 10 spies who said, "Oh, we can't go up," the people were discouraged and the people didn't want to go up. They were rebelling against the Lord. And the Lord had said, when we come into chapter 14, in the verses 11 and 12, he had said to Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? And then in verse 12 of chapter 14 of Numbers, the Lord said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. In verses 13 and 14, Moses begins to pray again. And they had to do many times for the people of Israel because of their sin and because God was going to smite them. And when he prays here in Numbers 14, verses 13 and 14, he mentions the cloud, the cloudy pillar. In verse 13, we read, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. Verse 14, and they, that is the Egyptians, will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. In other words, the Egyptians will tell it to the Canaanites. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. That thou, Lord, art seen face to face. And that thy cloud standeth over them. And that thou goest before them by daytime, in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord goes on, he's praying, and he's saying to the Lord, if you just wipe out this people now because of their sin, the people of Israel, the Egyptians are going to hear about it. And they're going to say to the Canaanites, as you read on down the passage, the Lord couldn't bring them into the land, so he had to destroy them. Of course, that wouldn't have been the case, even if the Lord had destroyed them. But that's, Moses says, that's what they're going to say, Lord. And Moses has said in this verse 14, Lord, these people, the Egyptians and the Canaanites, they're your enemies, they're the heathen. But they have heard that you're among the people of Israel. They have heard that your cloud standeth over them. They have heard that you go before them by day in this pillar of cloud and in this pillar of fire by night. What's Moses saying? Moses is saying to the Lord, even the ungodly recognize that your presence is with your people. You remember what we read about Joseph in Genesis 39 in the house of Potiphar? In the verse 3 of Genesis 39, we read that his master saw that the Lord was with him. Potiphar, as an ungodly individual, an ungodly Egyptian, as he watched Joseph and how he conducted himself as his slave in the home, he saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. That's another example of the ungodly recognizing God's presence with his people. And it's good for you and I who are saved tonight to ask ourselves day by day, do the unsaved in our families, the unsaved that we maybe work among, the unsaved that live in our neighborhood, do they recognize that we have the Lord with us? That we have the Lord's presence? And so we're saying tonight, this pillar of cloud and fire, which was a token of God's presence with his people, it teaches us about God's presence even with us today. God's presence is with us at all times. Just as that pillar of cloud and fire, the Lord went before the people of Israel by day and night in that pillar of cloud and fire, assuring them that his presence was with them. God's presence protected his people. God's presence still protects us as his people. God's presence ought to cause us to reverence him. And we ought to pray that God's presence with us will be recognized by the ungodly. This pillar of cloud and fire was the token of God's presence with his people. There's one other thought I want to leave with you very quickly. And that is the fact that this pillar of cloud and fire was the means of God guiding his people. And of course, that's closely linked to the fact that it was the token of God's presence. God's presence is with his people to guide his people. And if you go back there very quickly just to Exodus 13 and the verse 21, it tells us, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." This pillar of cloud and fire was to lead them by day and by night. And we read from Numbers chapter 9 tonight, and if you just turn back there very quickly as we finish tonight. In Numbers chapter 9, really from the verse 17 right down to verse 23 that we read, we are given just there in a little more detail how the Lord used this pillar of cloud and fire to lead the people. The pillar of cloud and fire actually led the people as to where they were to encamp, for how long they were to encamp, when they were to move on in their journeys, where they were to move on to, and where they were to encamp again. God led his people in this way. Just look there at verse 17. "When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle," because once the tabernacle was constructed, we discover that that cloud, even in verses 15 and 16, was upon the tabernacle. That's the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. But in verse 17 it says, "And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed." In other words, when that pillar of cloud and fire that was upon the tabernacle, when it rose up from the tabernacle, the people knew that was God's command, God's guidance, that they were to pack up and begin to move on. It tells us, "And in the place," verse 17 again of Numbers 9, "and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents." So when the cloud rose up from the tabernacle, all was packed up, they began the journey, and they followed that cloud as it led them, and then when it came to a stop, an abode in a place, well, they set up camp again for a time. Verse 18. "At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents." Verse 19. "And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed on." As long as that cloud was there upon the tabernacle, they stayed in that place. Didn't matter how long. If you go down to verse 22, it says, "Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed." So by means of this pillar of cloud and fire, the people of Israel were guided by God either to encamp in the one place for a period of time. Then when it was taken up, they knew it was time to pack up and move on in their journeys. They followed it to wherever it went. Whenever it stopped again, it was time to stop and encamp for another time. God used this as the means of guiding the people. And it didn't matter whether that cloud was taken up during the day or during the night. They journeyed. That's what we're told. We're told there in verse 21. "And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed." The means of God's guidance. And you know, God still guides us as his people. The psalmist says, "My times are in thy hand." And while we don't have the pillar of cloud and fire, that visible pillar of cloud and fire to follow or to rise up, God guides us through his word and by his spirit. And God overrules in our circumstances. There is a verse in Isaiah chapter 30 and the verse 21. Isaiah 30 and the verse 21. And it says this, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." And God's Spirit speaks to us through His Word. Just as the children of Israel had a pillar of cloud and fire to follow, to show them when they were to move on, when they were to stop, and so on. So this verse says that our ears will hear a word behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Just to give you an example in my own experience as to how God guides us through His Word, even from this very verse. On one occasion, it's quite a number of years ago, I had a particular decision to make, and I knew there was a man who was going to be phoning me on a particular evening to ask me what decision I had made about this particular matter. And I was praying about the matter, and praying for the Lord's guidance and leading. And in my own devotions, this was one of the chapters that come up. I think it was just the night before, and I was reading these verses, and I came to this verse 20, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." And I'd been praying about this particular matter. The Lord would show me whether this was what I was to do or not. And I came to this verse, and I believed that the Lord was saying, well, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then the particular man rang, and there was a little benefit for him if I was going to decide to do what he was ringing to ask me about. But he rang me, and he was a believer, and he said, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? And I said, well, I was reading last night, I've been praying about the matter, and I read Isaiah 30, verse 21, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." So I said, my mind's made up. The Lord has shown me, and he was happy enough that my mind had been made up as well. But it's a very simple example, but it shows us clearly the Lord does lead us, guide us through His Word. In Psalm 73 and 24, the psalmist said to the Lord, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." Romans 8 and 14 tells us, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And whether it's to do with the career that we have in life, the employment that we have, or maybe in life we maybe lose our job or lose our employment and we're looking for other work, and we're praying the Lord will guide us. The Lord does guide us. And I'm sure in your own experience you can look back at how the Lord guides. Even sometimes to do with moving house, maybe. And the Lord can guide us in all these practical things in life. You know, as we finish, and I said I'd have you finish before 9, and I see it's after 9, so I will finish with this. In Exodus chapter 33, and we mentioned this chapter a little earlier, but in Exodus chapter 33 and the verse 13, Moses was praying, and he was praying for guidance. In Exodus 33 and verse 13, and it says here, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." There was Moses praying for guidance for him and the people of Israel, praying to the Lord, "Show me now thy way." You know, before we moved to the congregation in John Knox, when I had received the call, and I was taking the month that we are permitted as ministers when we get a call from another congregation to pray for the Lord's guidance, I had prepared a message on this passage, and I was looking at it again, and I came to that verse 13 where Moses said, "Show me now thy way." And I said to the Lord as I looked at that verse, well, Lord, that's what I need to know. Show me now thy way. Should we move from the congregation in Bushmills to the congregation in John Knox, show me now thy way. And I looked at the next verse, which was the Lord's answer to Moses. When Moses prayed, "Show me now thy way," in verse 13. The verse 14 says, and he said, that's the Lord said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And that was the matter settled for me. That was the Lord's guidance. Show me now thy way. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And again, it shows us that God's word, which was penned so many years ago, it's right up to date for us. And as we read it today in our own circumstances, our own situations, when you need guidance about something, whatever you're reading in your normal daily readings, ask the Lord to guide you through it, and the Lord will guide. It'll not just come out as clearly as you must live at this house and this address, or you must go to this employment in this particular place, but the principle of God's word is there. As we pray over certain matters, the Lord will lead us and he will guide us. And so I trust that we'll be encouraged tonight. We have God's presence with us, just as definitely as the people of Israel had God's presence in that pillar of cloud and fire. And just as that was God's means of guiding, so the Lord will guide us as his people day by day. May the Lord lay his word upon our hearts this evening.
I want to thank Reverend Woods very much indeed on your behalf for that word to our hearts tonight. The Lord has encouraged us and spoken to us through his word again and reassured us, and I trust that it has been a blessing to you as well. We just have a wee word of prayer together. Lord, we do thank you for thy presence here tonight. Thank you for the preached word, and we do thank thee that it's always a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, we have been reminded of important truths tonight. And Lord, it's good for us always to remember, even in these days, that we have the Lord's presence, and that makes all of the difference. Bless thy word now, and speak unto your hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to sing just a couple of verses, please. I've changed the hymn. Hope you don't mind, Linda. It's 423. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me, and his arm around me thrown. That's what Moses knew. And the children of Israel knew it as well, and so do I.